Hi. So as Carolyn said, I'm going to talk about California's Health and Well Policies Task Force, and I also have no financial relationships to disclose. I think a number of other speakers and probably many other people at this conference have sort of talked about why we need health and well policies. Our task force grew out of discussions with our governor's office and our Health and Human Services Agency in early 2010 when we were talking. The governor wanted to do a summit on obesity and wanted to know what kind of policy initiatives could come out of that. And as we talked about how much about obesity really didn't reside within the control of our health department, we started talking about this concept of health and well policies. And the governor issued, at the time of the obesity summit, an executive order that directed the Strategic Growth Council to establish a health and well policies task force. The Strategic Growth Council is a legislatively mandated body in California that it's a cabinet-level body consisting of the agency secretaries for Health and Human Services, EPA, Resources, Business, Transportation and Housing, and the Governor's Office of Planning and Research, and one public member. And the task force was specifically told to identify priority programs, policies, and strategies that could improve the health of Californians while advancing the SGC's goals. So right from the get-go, the language of our mandate incorporated some of what Eleanor mentioned about the importance of addressing other people's goals as well as our health goals. And the executive order also ordered the health department to facilitate and staff this process. It's very broad, like the National Prevention Council. There's 18 agencies on the task force, ranging from transportation, social services, parks, fire, education, labor, Office of Traffic Safety, so it's quite broad. As our first step, we did two things. Actually, these are a little bit out of order, but it doesn't matter. We worked with the council to develop a set of aspirational goals that would sort of make a little bit more concrete a shared vision for what we wanted for the state of California that meshed with the goals of the Strategic Growth Council. So the ones at the top are, you know, ones about transportation, housing, parks, etc. And then our final one was that California's decision makers are informed about the health consequences of various policy options during the policy development process. Those goals actually really grew out of a definition to define a framework for what is a healthy community. So that, and we worked really hard with the task force members and with a very wide array of stakeholders in developing this framework, which again sort of put us all on the same page about why we're even talking about health and well policies. And we did some mapping exercises with the task force that helped them kind of see where they fit in getting to these healthy community goals and to healthy outcomes, particularly around obesity and smoking and a few other key health risk factors. So in order to develop our first set of recommendations, we went through a very intensive process that included 4 to 6 individual meetings with each of the task force agency members and some of their staff, meetings with key informants and experts in a broad range of issues. Basically, we tried to find who the experts and stakeholders were for each of the agencies that we thought were really key players on the task force, and we met with them separately. We had an informal stakeholder advisory group that we also met with, and we had a number of public workshops. We had 3 public workshops to help us develop the first set of recommendations, and then 5 public workshops to help us narrow down the list. We loosely applied a set of criteria that the task force agreed to that included things like how much impact would it have on health, how feasible is it, And very, very importantly, is there an explicit, understandable nexus between this recommendation and the goals of SGC member agencies? And we also agreed right at the outset that we would not include anything in our set of recommendations that we didn't have consensus on from the entire task force, although we also kind of said, if you don't have anything to do with this area, it'd probably be good for you to defer to the agency that does. But we did basically say, if you don't like it, it won't be in our report, which I think was, so this process, as intensive as it was, I think really did allow us to do two things. One, it helped us build trust with the other members of the task force, and we did get some early pushback on the concept that, you know, why is it health in all policies? Why isn't it economic opportunity in all policies? Or why isn't it equity in all policies? So it was very important to us that the other agencies felt like we were paying attention to them, that we were listening to what their constraints were, and that we also understood what some of their key agency goals were, and that we were willing to prioritize things that were important to them as well as to us. Those principles that we operated by actually did lead to us leaving out some things that we thought were important. So since this effort started in the context of obesity, we were referencing back to our obesity prevention plan and trying to incorporate things into the task force report, but we did not build a sufficiently strong case for the nexus between breastfeeding and sustainability, that we don't have a breastfeeding recommendation. That's just one example of many things that aren't in the report. We also left some really important things out because either we didn't have the relevant agency at the table, like our alcohol and drug program department was not at the table, so we don't have recommendations about alcohol, and that department has actually now been disbanded. We didn't include some recommendations because we couldn't get consensus on them or because the critical agency wasn't ready to agree and we were operating on a very tight externally imposed timeline. So, for example, we really wanted to include something on school siting, but we didn't have time to work that through with all of the relevant people in our Department of Education. So we ended up making a report to the Strategic Growth Council that had 34 recommendations in it in six different areas. You can see them here. They accepted that report and asked us to come back with a shortened list of priorities for which we would develop implementation plans. So I'm quickly going to go through some examples of what those priorities are to give you a sense of what we're now doing, which in fact seems like the hard part, because now we're really talking about how do we operationalize this, and we're operating in a time of incredible fiscal and personnel constraints. We've had a hiring freeze for a long time. Many agencies have many, many vacancies. So it's been a real challenge for us to sort of move forward on these recommendations in light of not having resources to do it, not just in our agency, but also in all of the other agencies. However, I feel like we're making progress. So we have been working on an active transportation implementation plan. Caltrans, actually, our transportation agency, has stepped up to be a co-lead on the implementation of this plan, and we're working on how public health and transportation and a number of other agencies can partner around the implementation of complete streets and what we can do to get the word out to local governments about how to do that at a local level. Housing in indoor spaces has illustrated a really interesting thing that I didn't quite appreciate going into this process. We, in conversation with our housing department, realized that they had a conflict with our Air Board over a guideline from the Air Board that we not site housing within 500 feet of a busy roadway. And the housing folks said, whoa, we've got all these proposed affordable housing sites that are close to busy roadways, and we desperately need affordable housing. Our transportation folks said, we're supposed to be doing infill and transit-oriented development, and a lot of our transit-oriented development sites are close to a busy roadway. And so we had these multi in our Office of Planning and Research got in the game too. So we were able to sort of, through the task force, help people understand that each of these goals was very important from a public health perspective and that each had important health implications, and ended up kind of helping to moderate a discussion amongst these five agencies that we've now taken out to a discussion with some of the largest regional and local governments in Southern California, and we'll now follow that up with a broader public meeting in January that also brings in stakeholders to talk about how to harmonize these different public policy objectives, each of which impact health. Our Parks Department, our Forestry Department has stepped up to co-lead our urban greening recommendations implementation. Here's another example of some of the challenges of doing this work. We had some number of recommendations on community safety through violence prevention, but we've had a reorganization, and the office that was leading this with us is also now defunded. But we're hoping to get some grant money to implement the first of those guidelines, that's to disseminate guidance on crime prevention through environmental design to local governments. We're working on a healthy food procurement policy for the state, and our Parks Department is very active in that. This is an example of a recommendation where its acceptance and prioritization by the Strategic Growth Council has actually helped to bring in some other agencies that aren't on the task force. We just did training for the Blind Vendors Association that has all the vending machine contracts through our Department of Rehabilitation. We've started a conversation with the Department of Corrections, that's our largest food procurer in the state, on how to do healthy food procurement. So the biggest issue to us, somebody's really trying to reach me. The biggest challenge in terms of our recommendations is how to institutionalize this health and all policies concept deeper than having a task force where we talk about it. So we've made a number of recommendations about how you really build healthy public policy in the state of California. These recommendations include how to incorporate a health and health equity perspective into state guidance, because the state issues a lot of guidance for local governments. And even though it's guidance, it does have a big impact on what local governments do. We're working with the Office of Planning and Research on their general plan guidance and sort of developing a document on how they could incorporate health into their general plan guidance. We're in discussion with the Department of Transportation about how to incorporate more explicit references to health in their guidance for regional transportation plans. We have been successful in incorporating health and health equity criteria into several grants. The Strategic Growth Council gave out some dollars for urban greening. We included health criteria in that RFA, and in fact it really did lead to broadening the scope of their grants, not just to planting trees, which are important in their own right, but also to including parks and community gardens. Our housing department incorporated some health criteria into a grant that they were doing for some affordable housing development. We have not made as much progress on sort of formalizing some way to integrate a health analysis, in which is sort of code word for HIA, into existing state projects and plans. And we actually found that people were very afraid of the term HIA, in part because it sounds a lot like an EIA or environmental impact assessment. All of our implementation plans address four cross-cutting themes, which are interagency collaboration, equity, community engagement, and data. And equity and community engagement have been particularly challenging because all the agencies have different ideas of what that means. So quickly, lessons learned. It's hard, it takes a lot of time and patience, takes resources, We really have to pay attention to why it's important for other agencies, not just why it's important for health. It's been super important for us to really have a pretty deep level of community and stakeholder engagement. And as I mentioned, it's been easier for us to look at specific actions rather than the institutionalization, which we're still working on. We've gotten fantastic reactions to this process. We have a number of counties like Los Angeles and San Francisco that are now actively exploring how to establish Health in All Policies Task Force or embed Health in All Policies in their work, as well as from a number of states like Virginia and Hawaii. It's been incredibly interesting, challenging, and also fun project. Thanks.